come on in and stay a while. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Tuesday, November 14th. I'm Damian Barling along with Chase and Ross. This is The Lowdown. We got plenty to get to today. Week 10 of the NFL season wrapped up last night in less than spectacular fashion. But the good news for all of us is Cam Newton is happy again. I mean, that's what we want, right? We want the Panthers to win so Cam Newton can be happy, because Cam Newton is only happy when the Panthers win.
Happy Cam.
Happy Cam. Happy Cam is good Cam. Happy Cam is good for the NFL. Cranky Cam, not so much. Cranky Cam is bad for the NFL. It's bad for Cam. It's bad for the Panthers. It's bad for pretty much everybody. Not just the Panthers, though. J. Ross and I will take one small look at the entire NFC, the National Football Conference. We'll do that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We'll do our winners and losers of Week 10 of the NFL season as well. We'll do that right at the 2 o'clock hour. I just took a peek at the Week 11 schedule. This weekend is fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really meaningful games coming up this weekend. So we'll get to all that. Did you know college basketball is back?
Mm-hmm.
We'll touch on – there's a number one versus number two tonight.
Whoa.
Hey, now. Number one versus number two, plus the college football rankings. We will take care of all of that here for you today. As always, we'd love to hear from you here on the text line at 44-1140. Those come directly to us right here in the studio, and we are the ones responding to them. So you can connect with us all day here at 44-1140. And the phone lines, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got your chance to go out and golf. We'll explain more about that in just a little bit. But we start, Jason, Herbert, Walker, Ross, with your Sacramento Kings losing big again, this time in the nation's capital to the Washington Wizards, 110-92. If the game ended after the first quarter, though, Kings fans must have been feeling good. 35 points, had a lead there. We're shooting threes. Mid-range city is dead. This team is too inconsistent to have a moniker.
Oh, you're taking that from them?
Too inconsistent.
I'm not done with it.
I don't want to be done with it. But they were, what, 4 or 5 from three?
At
the
end
of the, yeah.
Yeah. At the end, they weren't.
Then they just stopped.
Yeah.
Scoring.
All everywhere.
Period.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, screw this. We're good.
Yeah, I wish they would find a way to struggle consistently, right? Because before it's like, yeah, it's first quarter's their problem. Now yesterday, that wasn't their problem. So good. Progress. Mm-hmm. Well, there are three more quarters after that. And actually, in halftime, they were still in the game. Mm-hmm. Third quarter, Damian, 6 minutes. The first 6 minutes of the third, they scored 5 points. And
is that good?
Game, set, match. Nope, not in this case. Playing a good team. I felt found their way then in the second half, and then, you know, too far down at that point. You're not explosive. This team is having trouble scoring. And in each night, you can always find something that you like. You can find way more that you don't. I did like the way George Hill played.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
But, again, I'm looking and I'm searching and trying to find something on each night to build upon. And that's where it's getting difficult, where they might have something that shows up one night and it's not there the next night. Like I said, they'll have a bad first half and a good fourth quarter. A bad second half and a good start like this one, or a poor shooting night. I mean, they kind of heard a night where they, I mean, 12 threes is a lot for them, and low turnovers, those are good, but other areas that kind of show up every night, get out-rebounded, can't score enough. And, I mean, Washington's better than them. That's, you know, that goes without saying, but can you be in games on the road longer than they've been?
Yeah, they're not a good basketball team,
mm-hmm.
but they're really bad on the road.
7 in a row, and not really that competitive. The Phoenix one was the only one we could argue that they could have won after they beat Dallas, and they've lost 7 in a row. Everyone else?
What happened after that? Was it? Spoiler alert, I took a listen to the Locked On Kings mm-hmm. podcast. Was it 16, roughly 16 points per game?
Roughly.
That they've lost by?
Yeah.
On the road, with the exception, if you take the Phoenix game out.
Oh, then it'd be worse. Yeah, the only other single digit was 9 to Detroit. But late, they didn't really have a chance to win that one either.
There were 6 double-digit scorers. The high scorer, as you mentioned there when you were praising George Hill, was George Hill, but that high-scoring number was 16. In terms of minutes,
it looks the same.
Holy smokes, man. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 players played 20-plus minutes yesterday.
But you, no one more than what?
I dare you to spend the rest of the day, not you, everybody else, try to find a team that played 20 players 20 plus minutes in one game. There is not a coach in the league that does that. I know the Sacramento Kings thought process, strategy, it's different, and we've seen this before. Over the course of the last few games, we've seen Garrett Temple hit the 30-minute mark. De'Aaron Fox, I think Justin Jackson,
barely, yeah.
Yeah, right there at 30 minutes. And we had started to talk. I know you weren't here Friday after that Thursday win against Philadelphia, but was kind of thinking, this is a couple of games in a row now. They won twice. Oklahoma City was the other one where we had a couple of 30-minute players. Maybe Dave Yeager's starting to get a little bit of a feel for what he wants to do here with this team, and now we come out to Washington. And they don't play tonight. It's not like a back-to-back right. situation where you're trying to sparse out minutes. They play tomorrow. But it could also be a situation, you mentioned the third quarter came along and everything kind of disintegrated after that.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned 20 minutes. I mean, yeah, the high was 26. I mean, there's no one that is even 29 or close to it. And I don't know. We've talked about that. I think there's definitely a theory behind this, what Yeager is trying to do. And I think if we saw it differently where they started playing, I don't know, a handful of guys. Let me pick four guys that played 30-plus a night, low 30s even. I think we would see better statistics for those players. But I don't know if they would be better as a team. I honestly don't know the answer to that. I mean, I would say let's just give them four of the five starters. Let's say Bogdanović, Randolph, Temple, and Willie Cauley-Stein. Those are the four that got 30 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. I think we'd see better numbers from each individual, but would they be a better team?
Well, I think that's type of stuff happens by default, right?
Like, right. Someone's got to get
the
numbers.
And if you're not, you're probably bad. And that's an entirely different problem. Like if you're playing that 35 minutes per game and you're one of these highly sought after rookies or second year players and you're not playing well, or you're not getting those numbers that you're talking about, then that's an entirely different type of problem.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something that we said, you know, at some point here over the course of the last week or two. I know people really love the Sacramento Kings team and they love the youth. And I've kind of tried to get to the bottom of, well, we're excited and we're optimistic and we're this and we're that. And that's good. But the key to all of this is at least mm-hmm. two of these guys developing. And we're 13 games into the season. If we're at game, let's see, we got game 14 coming up tomorrow in Atlanta. If we're at game 70 and we look down at a stat sheet that has 10, 20 plus minute players, I don't know what next season is going to look
right.
like. I at some point I'm expecting, whether it's Papianis isn't going to play anymore. Costa Kufis is going to play very little. And I'm just picking names.
Right.
Except Papianis. I'm targeting him specifically.
Yeah.
But there are players, and the ones that we like, Scal or Justin Jackson or whoever. Someone's minutes are going to come down, and they're going to have to say, okay, we need to know if De'Aaron Fox is going to be able to start 82 games at point guard next year. We need to know if, you know, Zach Randolph goes down, if Scalabissiere or whatever,
right.
You know, whatever strategy
options
you want to take right there, it's going to have to be somebody else. And that hasn't even been hinted at yet.
No, not yet. And I think it's partly because of what you said first, 13 games. And also, I think this season could end up having some similarities to last season. And it doesn't have to be a major trade like they did last year, but let's pick around the All-Star break, and if the Kings team are still playing at about the percentage that they are, where they're winning 3 out of every 13 games, which isn't very good, well, then you could get to that point of the season with, you know, 2 months to go and say, all right, we're ramping up De'Aaron now to 30, 35 mm-hmm. games consistently. Or, you know, after they traded DeMarcus, then we were seeing Aaron Aflalo, night of rest. Costa Kufis, not playing. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Collison, you know, the guys that they knew they had to play and could play, but they were giving opportunities to other guys. I could see that happening later. I don't think you can do that now per se consistently, but I just don't think they're to that point yet. And you're still trying to develop, like you said, develop the guys.
Read you a couple of texts here. This one, enjoy the journey, guys. The commitment is to developing the young guys and
yep.
knowing the lessons, and more important than the wins is a freaking beautiful. Okay, maybe that was the end of it.
New arena?
I'm sorry. I found it. The commitment to developing the young guys and knowing the lessons are more important than the wins is a freaking beautiful thing. Yeah. Please keep this ball rolling along and resist the urge to play the vets and try to win. Wait, what? Resist the urge to play the vets and try to win? We're still hung up on that. That's Craig. Craig! We're still hung up on that, Craig? Come on, Craig.
Yeah. We're playing the veterans. They're playing everybody.
Well, I'm going to go to the another text, 44-11-40. We need to play faster.
That I would agree with.
Trade Randolph and Hill in December.
Okay. Four?
Do we really?
For what?
This is just so weird. We're 13 games in. Weren't people excited about the acquisition of these four guys?
Yep. Yeah, they were.
It's worn off that quick?
Well.
Like, do you want them at practice? Do you want them on the bench? You just don't want them in the actual game? Is that it?
Is that what it is? Like, I don't know what the fans want.
Genuinely asking. Like, that is a question that I'm posing to you. Do you not want them to play? You want them around. You need them around. You just don't want them to play? Is that the case?
Well, and I also feel like the organization, Dave Yeager specifically, has been very open, thinking this is going to take a little time. This is, you know, a couple years work, and we've talked about it. I don't know. Do people have expectations that we're out of whack? I didn't hear a lot of people talking about playoffs or thinking playoffs was a reality.
Well, you know, you give
fans might, but
you give people a little compliment and it just swells your head up.
Yeah.
So think the Sacramento Kings aren't now and weren't during this offseason the laughingstock of the National Basketball
Association. People thought they did a good job.
Which they had been for a number of, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. So suddenly the non-disrespect comes across as, oh, look, they like us. So when they don't like us, we complain about, oh, the national media is, I can't believe, this is, they don't know, they're not here. But then they praise us, and it's like, yeah, Charles Barkley said we're going to the playoffs. Yeah, they had us on the jump, and they said we did good. And now, okay.
We're 3-10. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You may not be thinking, oh, well, we're going to win the championship. We're going to go to the playoffs. We're going to do all this stuff. But it's like, well, we're not getting trashed every day, so that means we're doing something right, guys. Right, guys? Well, no, it's just the team's not good, and it's going to be a while before they are. And, you know, I hear 2 years. I hear 3 years. How long was the process in Philly?
Yeah, I mean,
how many years did Minnesota make the lottery before, you know?
They have a longer drought than the Kings.
Right, and I think it was last year was the remember this, maybe De'Aaron Fox becomes this, maybe Justin Jackson becomes it, or Buddy. They have a game-changing young player in Karl Anthony Towns. In fact, they have a couple of game change. That's the difference between consistently drafting 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 1 and 2. And they have a couple of those guys there on their roster. And it still took them time to get it together. It still took them time. Last year was probably the first year where we looked at Minnesota and thought, man, this is disappointing.
Right.
Like they should have been better than this. This year, they're still, you know, they're still going through their growing pains, but they're better, and they're tracking closer to where we expect them to be. As you just said, they've been out of the playoffs longer than the Kings have. And it's going to be a while, but they were able to, like, Karl Anthony Towns is still developing. Andrew Wiggins, they were able to get him to he's still developing. They're still, it's the buzzword in sports, they're still going through the process there. Sacramento Kings, I don't even know if the Kings have started the process yet, because I think the process starts when you know, right? And you, okay, this is what we're doing, okay? You could argue that the process started when they traded DeMarcus, and that's a perfectly fine argument. But now the process of developing all these acquisitions that you got in return for DeMarcus Cousins comes into play, and that's not going to happen this year. And I could be wrong. I don't think I am. At least history shows I'm not. It's not going to happen next year. And if it happened the year after that, if it happened before any of these guys were off their rookie deals, the Sacramento Kings are significantly ahead of the curve.
Well, and that's the thing. When we look at, I was going to look up some numbers from a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, who it's different when you're not, you know, we always see the highlights. We don't watch every game, so you don't. We think De'Aaron Fox is going to be something. I really do. And I can see where the flaws are, and I could see, you know what? An off season of just dedicated work on his jump shot.
Yeah, because he does not shoot well.
He'll get better. I mean, I could see that improving. That's a very logical step for him to get better. Now, if his jump shot is better, his quickness is there, experience, all that. I mean, I think he will be a guy. I really do. Now, that could change over the rest of this year, but if we had to guess today, I would say, yeah, for sure. But we're not seeing a guy that's coming in and dominating. But I also wanted to look back at Karl Anthony Towns' rookie year and see, was he dominant right away? We liked him. He was rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. He was really good. Mm-hmm. But did he have some 8 points, eight board games, you know, early on? Or was he getting 20 and 10 all the time? I don't think he was getting – we think he was, but he wasn't getting 20 and 10 every game.
You sure?
I don't know. That's why I wanted to look it up. I'm not sure.
Are we positive he wasn't? But, no, you're right. I remember I feel like, and you can confirm this as we do on-the-spot research, that Karl Anthony Towns' jump from year one to year two was rather significant.
Yes.
Andrew Wiggins, we started to see that big jump before he got hurt. Because his first year was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
All right. That's good. It's fine.
It's like an athlete can score a little bit.
Yeah, and then second year was like, oh, okay. Then he gets hurt. And, like, it's like we're starting to see the development of those guys. And I don't know. I guess it's just a case with the Sacramento Kings of how long do they stick with this? Okay, we're gonna see what everybody got on a nightly basis. That's our strategy. We're going to take a look at everybody. Is this going to go on for 82 games? Is it going to go on to, I don't know, maybe they're taking this strategy because they feel like, hey, this is the best way to get a good, solid look at everybody and potentially land us a nice spot in the 2018 draft.
Right, right.
And, you know, we can start to figure out what we're going to do about not being in the 2019 draft next season.
Yeah. Maybe Karl Anthony Towns was a bad example.
Okay.
No, I'm looking up some of his numbers, and it was really he did a great job to start out. But game four for him, 6 points, four rebounds, and an assist. Are people worried in Minnesota? 2 days later, or a couple games later, three game stretch, 6 points, 6 points, 7 points. But by the end, Damian, man, in April of his rookie year, the year he wins rookie of the year, he's averaging 19 and 12. It's pretty nice.
So the double double that you just referred to,
he was getting at the end, yeah, for sure. Averaging it, which is great.
Yeah.
But my point is there were some games in there. And the other point, too, is here's probably the most important one. He came in a little bit like Tyreek, a little bit like DeMarcus, in that you're playing, and you're playing a lot.
Right,
like
De'Aaron
Fox is playing 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
His minute total, 29, 32, 36, 37. I mean, he 40, 41, 35, 28. He was playing a ton.
You know, but we often cite Giannis Antetokounmpo as a guy who accelerated, right? Like I should say ascended. Like he started in a spot and rose and rose and rose and rose and rose and rose. Now he was pick like 13-ish, I think, if I remember correctly,
somewhere around there. Teens, yeah.
Let's look up what his minutes were.
Okay.
Because that's it. Again, Karl Anthony Towns is a one or two pick. When you're drafting one, two, three, and I mean,
sure.
I guess most people would probably say the same when they look at De'Aaron Fox for the Sacramento Kings. There, I'm confident, are people around the league who are looking at the Kings and saying, yo, why aren't you playing De'Aaron Fox 32, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes a game? That's what you do with picks that's high. That's the equivalent to an NFL team taking a quarterback. In one of those draft positions, you're expected to play them. Patrick Mahomes was taken at 10, and you have a competent quarterback there, and there are still people who are like, yo, man, what? You gonna put him in or no?
Right.
Like Alex Smith had a bad half. You gonna yank him and put in Patrick Mahomes? When you're drafted in a certain spot, there are certain things expected in terms of your playing time.
Yeah. I looked up the Greek Freak here. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, I'm glad you asked me to look him up. First game, 5 minutes. In his third, fourth, seventh, eighth game, 10th game, didn't play.
Wow.
Didn't even play.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that.
Then we're starting to see. Then all of a sudden, middle of December, out of nowhere, he gets a 42-minute game, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists.
Okay.
42 minutes.
I wonder if there was an injury.
Didn't look like
I
it.
I don't remember the Bucks.
But 14 minutes.
Bucks,
you know,
of 4 years ago or whatever.
He was getting per month about 26 minutes, 25 minutes, and 24 minutes.
Did you say per month?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that was his month average.
Okay.
But that's what he was averaging a game in those months. So it wasn't like he ramped up by the end. By the end, he was playing in April 26 minutes a game.
Okay. So, I mean, that's
averaged 5 points.
It's about.
Yeah.
It's about where these guys are.
I guess at this point, I would ask it this way. Are you worried about De'Aaron? Because I'm not.
I'm not either.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's not a lock, but I feel like he'll be fine.
But I don't know that I'd say the same about Buddy or Justin Jackson or Scalabissiere. I don't know that I'd say the same about them.
I don't feel that I would
them.
Say that about Scal.
That's
I'm comfortable
funny.
With Buddy.
So you would be worried about Scal. Do you think Scal needs the minutes is it's a simpler way of putting it. Justin Jackson, do you think Justin Jackson needs the minutes?
I actually think he's pretty, what's the term, refined? Like, I don't know that more minutes – I feel like he's ready, but I don't know what his ceiling is. Like, I think if you started him and played him, he'll be fine. He won't hurt you. If he comes off the bench, he'll be fine. He won't hurt you. But I don't see an all-star there.
Because of Buddy's age, he's the one I'm not worried about.
Yeah.
Because of his – even though a lot of his experience was in college, his experience is leaving me. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, and he looks like – I feel like we could say, what is Buddy going to be? A scorer off the bench or a scorer? He's a scorer.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What's Scal? I don't know the answer
I don't know.
Yeah, and that's where –
But I would like to see Scal and Justin Jackson in those minute ranges that we talked about. That's what I would like to see. But the fact is, there's just not enough minutes to go around with everybody because we haven't – I don't think we've mentioned Bogdan's name one time in the last 22 minutes.
True.
And then we got De'Aaron Fox. Okay, well, we also got Garrett Temple, who even when he's out there with George Hill is still a bit of the floor general, particularly on the defensive end. So you can't take him out of the starting lineup because he's going to guard the defender's best player every time. Or excuse me, the opposing team's best player every time. And then you have the enigma that is Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah. And that, you know, then I could probably hear some people going, well, guys, just play all the young guys. They did it once. In fairness, it was only once. It was against Washington
last
time.
And it didn't go well.
It was awful. But it was once.
You don't want that. Let's just put that out there. You don't want that.
Like, that to me is March and the rest of the year. Like if it's like, hey, you're way out of it. It's just we're at the end. 15 games to go. All right, we're playing all the young guys. But not now. Mm-hmm. Not to me.
No, I don't want that.
I don't want that at all.
Yeah, I don't want that at all.
No.
And I wouldn't even I don't even know that I'd want that in March. I mean, maybe I don't want it like what we saw against Washington here at the Golden 1 Center in March because that was
But would they be better to handle it then?
That was no Zach, that was no George Hill. Garrett played that day.
Yeah, but it was basically all the young guys
started. All the young guys started.
And got off to a terrible start and they just never could regroup. Yeah.
And that was by far De'Aaron Fox's worst game.
I think it was the team's worst. I mean, they've had other bad games, but that one was a tough.
But that
tough
was
watch.
The one where it's like, okay, kid,
here's your chance.
You're the starter.
Yeah,
go on. Oh, by the way, you're going against probably the best defending point guard in the entire league.
So score and stop him.
And facilitate the offense
because, and win
because Bogdan's playing too.
Right.
So we want you to get him going, and then if we can get Willie going earlier, we'll feel really good.
And don't forget about Scal and Justin. And,
but get your shot.
Yeah, and all that too.
We're gonna do all of that
and have fun. Win, smile, and show off your hair, all that stuff.
Get the crowd into it.
Yeah.
Get the crowd into it. So that was.
So we solved nothing, did we?
We didn't.
We're trying.
We can solve all the world's problems, but damn if we can solve the Sacramento Kings problems.
That one's just, can't check that off the list yet.
Tons of texts come in. We'll read through these. 44-11-40, 33-9-11-40. It was hot in the garden last night. Mad beef. We'll explain next. Cider Pete says, like Aaron Rodgers. Everyone needs to relax. Can't wait to see Harry Giles. There's a lot of text on here today for some reason about Harry Giles. By February of 2019, Kings will be better or all step down. That's what Vladdy said. I don't think that's exactly what he said.
I guess close to that, though.
But he said within 2 years. Wasn't that the exact line?
Yeah.
If we're not better within 2 years, I'll step down.
Uh-huh.
Should expect improvement sooner than you are making it sound. It wouldn't be, would it be 19? Oh, 2017-19. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
2019.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
Guess we should expect improvement sooner than you are making it sound. And I wrote, we can expect improvement whenever we want. When we actually go and get it, that's an entirely different story. That's on the text line here at 44-11-40. Lots of tweets coming in. You can get with Jay Ross and I as well, at Damian Barling and at Jason Ross. 11:40. Our man David says, why are all the Kings fans in permanent tanking mode? How many lottery picks is going to be enough? Another one, this is from Karen, who regularly tweets us here. I don't know what people expected. This is exactly what I was expecting. I'd rather see them get their butt kicks now. They need the vets to help develop. The last thing you want is to rush it or give up on the young ones too soon.
Yeah, the one thing I would say, too, is that there aren't shortcuts in this.
There's very much not.
I mean, I wish there were 13 and, you know, 10 and 3. Flip the record around. It's not what they are. And doesn't mean it has to take forever all the time. But they took the best player away by far. And I think we could openly have a debate right now asking who the best player on the team is and not come up with a universal answer.
Oh, no chance.
So
no chance.
So there's... then you're looking at veterans that can help you, but young guys that aren't ready to be stars yet. And so it's not there. And there are no shortcuts. And they gotta go through the whole thing, the whole timeline to figure out when this will be what they want it to be.
Who would you say? Oh yeah? Who's the leading scorer? Do you know?
Well, I think it might now be Buddy, but I think it was De'Aaron had the most minutes, believe it or not, and it's not much. Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. It's way too low.
Because normally it's really easy. Like if we just started naming teams.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
You could probably name their top scorer. Probably. Or at least have an idea of who. Well, it's going to be a combination of LeBron, Kevin Love, and such.
Yeah.
When you go to Cavs, or it's going to be a combination of Devin Booker and so. Carl Anthony, you
it's
can do
Towns
that.
Oh, it's Wiggins? Okay, but you're not far.
You know, you know who the one and two scorers are. I have no idea.
Yeah.
None. Like, I'd know who it's not. It's not Willie. I would go. I have no idea.
Hmm.
Is it De'Aaron and Buddy?
They are 2 and 3.
They're 2 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
Garrett?
Buddy is 2. De'Aaron is 3.
Is Garrett 1?
No.
Zach Randolph.
Yeah,
Randolph.
Again, it's 12.7. For the leading scorer.
So Zach Randolph's 12.7. So
Buddy is 12.3. De'Aaron's 11.8.
Okay.
Bogdan 9.4. Scal 9.3. Willie 8.4. I mean, that's just too many of the nines and eights.
Zach Randolph, I think, has all the highest scoring outputs for the Kings this year. Is that right?
Yeah, I think they've had 4 total players get 20 or more.
Willie had 21 in the first game.
Mm-hmm. I think Temple still has the high.
I think Willie's had 21 since then. But entirely different story.
Yeah.
Those are just the thoughts of Kings Nation here. What's your guys' assessment so far on Bogdanovich's play? I like Bogdanovich a lot. I just don't think he plays enough.
Yeah, he's kind of in the same realm, right?
I think my assessment on every Sacramento King would be, I really like De'Aaron Fox. He's got to work on that jump shot. He just doesn't play enough.
Well, I think, again, we're going to go back to minutes, but that's where we usually – tie playing well to production. So if you cut down any of the really good players in the NBA's minutes to 20, they'll still produce, and they'll produce more than the Kings' best players are doing right now. But you'll go, wow, LeBron's averaging 21 this year? It's a little low for him. Well, because he's playing less minutes. Mm-hmm. But I think if anybody got more minutes, we'd see a little bit better in the production part. But do you feel like they're playing? I feel like Bogdan knows what he's doing. It looks like he belongs. Remember, he's a rookie here, but he looks comfortable. I think he needs more reps and more time.
Agree. Completely agree. There was other basketball stuff going on last night. It was hot. It was hot in the Garden, Jay Ross. I don't know how much of that you got a chance to catch. Cleveland down at one point. 23 points to the New York Knicks. LeBron and Frank Ntilikina get into it a little bit. LeBron, Enes Kanter, who is the... I think I secretly love Enes Kanter.
He seems like he's a great teammate.
He is an awesome teammate.
Yeah.
He will whoop that butt. You do not get in any of his boys' faces. And he was already a little agitated that LeBron had said something about Frank Ntilikina.
A praise of Dennis Smith, right?
Right, yeah, and that's exactly how he framed it. And it wasn't a knock on Frank. It was just... he thinks Dennis Smith Jr. is really good. Okay, fine. He tried to use the comparison of Miles Garrett and Deshaun Watson, that's fine. But I loved more than Enes Kanter, I loved that Frank Ntilikina was like, man, get off me, player. Like, back up. And is pushing LeBron away and LeBron does the most, like, passive aggressive. We all know that LeBron is king of passive aggressive behavior. But he is looking at Frank Ntilikina during this whole confrontation with Enes Kanter and literally just tries to shove Kanter out of the way, like, nah, man, move.
Yeah.
You're not even.
I'm not dealing with you.
I'm not dealing with you. I'm talking to this rookie over here.
Yeah.
Like, get lost.
Yeah.
That was all the fun part. And the Garden was hype last night because, again, they were up 23. The Knicks were up 23. Porzingis was going all unicorn on them. You had that little interaction there. And then that's changed.
Largest blown lead of the season by any team.
23. They were down. The Cavs were down 15 heading into the fourth. And then the phenom that is Kyle Korver took over and scores 19 of his 21 there in the fourth. Scores 19 of Cleveland's 43 for fourth quarter points.
Yeah. I'm sure the Garden was very electric at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
With the Cavs coming in there and LeBron playing the way he did and getting the last laugh. And oh, yeah. At least, it was fun. It was a little bit more than just a regular season game there.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a lot of fun. And you can, when you're watching those games and you see, you can get a feel for those, like, comeback, like, when they're happening. Mm-hmm. Like, you're watching them, like,
something's up here.
Yeah, New York, you might. You got to do something. I don't know what you could do, but you might want to do something. And then this moment in the fourth quarter, or not. Like, I tried to be slick and hit the button. Hey, Chris, could you turn the computer on? Thanks.
Okay.
It's been a while since
slick.
I've had to do that. Yeah. We were a professional show for so long, and erase the dry board where it says number of days since Damian last screwed up. Put it back on zero. Now, that right there caught my attention. The familiar chant of defense. So the crowd is yelling defense, despite the fact the Knicks haven't played it in the last decade.
Right. It's not that familiar.
You gotta admire the Knicks fans, yeah. Right? That familiar chant of defense. Like, okay, so they do that regularly, huh? Because they hell haven't been playing it. And that put the Cavs up for good, as we mentioned, LeBron. Yeah, he got a rebound at the end of the game. I guess they called it a team rebound. So he had 23, 12, and 9 rebounds. I sure thought that was his rebound. Kyle Korver, we mentioned, 21 points, 19 in the fourth quarter. Dwayne Wade, 15, 8, and 3.
That Dwayne Wade?
The Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
Jay Crowder was good for them as well. Cavs back at 500 now, 7-7. All is right with Cleveland.
Yeah, on their way to 41 wins.
Is LeBron the most hated athlete in sports?
Well, not to me by any stretch, but there's something there, right? There's something.
Is he the most hateable? I think we need to do a text poll.
Okay.
We need to do an impromptu text poll. We'll do that. We'll do that next here on the Lowdown. All right, I want to get back to, is LeBron the most hated athlete in all of sports? But James, you've been holding patiently, man. We greatly appreciate it. What do you got for us today?
Oh.
Right on, James, man. Hey, great to hear from you, brother. You be well.
Thank you. Love you the props.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Love you. Love your show, James. Thanks, man. What's up, Big Mike?
Really?
Really? Hey, what's up, Mike?
Yeah. You talking to me?
Nope.
Are you
not
Mike?
At all. Yeah, sorry, we're not. I got nothing for you. My goodness, erase the dry board that says number of days until I've had to hang up on someone. You just go ahead and erase that. Put it at zero.
Got a lot of dry boards.
We do. They're important. We got that one right there with all the colors on it, man. It's good.
Pretty.
It is pretty. Is LeBron James the most hated guy in sports? You say no. Just
text. He's on the list, right?
Let's do a couple of different text polls here.
Okay.
Just real quick. No qualifications for either. Yes, no. I don't need, no, he's not, but I hate it when he does this. Don't do that. Don't say, yes, but I really like when he does this. Just yes or no, LeBron James is the most, what if we changed it? LeBron James is the most hateable guy in sports.
I'm texting in no.
Who would you put above LeBron James as the most hated?
That's a good question because I'd be curious about what other people would have to say about that too. But because I'm a big fan of LeBron, but I mean little things like last night, little things like the passive aggressive tweets, those kind of things But is that, if that's his biggest infraction, does that make him hateable?
That's what I love about him too. Yeah. I love
watching him play that part too.
Passive aggressive behavior on other people makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But if you pull that stuff with me, I'll lose it quick.
Right.
Like I don't like passive aggressive behavior dumb to me, but from a distance, it freaking makes me laugh.
Well, then it generally ends up being people that are really good or you're tired of them winning or something like that. So I would bet Tom Brady would be on some people's list.
Well, a number of people, Marty from Philly is like, dude, it's Tom Brady. A number of people, just as we briefly brought it up a few moments ago, texting, nah, right away, it's Tom Brady. What makes Tom Brady hateable, though?
Again, it's...
he's too good-looking. His wife is wealthier than he is. He wins too many Super Bowls. Like, what is it?
That, I guess.
The perception that he cheats? Like, I was being sarcastic with the first one. Is it the perception that he cheats?
How he handled that, maybe? Like, who is he? Do we really know him? You know, what is he, you know, a robot? Some people have accused, like, what's his real personality? Do we get to know him? Is he just putting on a face for us? Is he a jerk? I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about him personally.
There actually aren't very many yet. Well, there's a lot of these to read. Keep those texts coming at 44-1140. We're going to do a take two with all of these. James, what's happening, man?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, sorry about that. I got cut off right when you came in.
All good, big fella. What do we got for you?
Hey, so two things on the Kings. De'Aaron Fox, so very exciting to watch play. The only thing that I see is he's a little out of control, and I know that's how he plays. Always throwing the ball away a little bit, but man, that shot of his, he needs to start passing a little more if he's not going to be making those buckets, because you can almost see it coming every time he goes down the court when he's going to shoot, and he's not even close on a lot of the shots.
Yeah, I wouldn't start pushing De'Aaron Fox to pass. I would just actually tell him, keep shooting. That's what I think every great shooter says, that, right, Jared? Just you're going to shoot yourself out of that at some point. Now, I'm with Jason in that he needs an entire offseason to devote to that part of the game with NBA-style coaches and NBA-style trainers and, quite frankly, NBA players to defend him. Like, that's an entirely different process he's going to go through than, you know, training in college. So I wouldn't be so quick to tell him to pass. Just allow him to keep shooting. And hopefully if he gets those minutes, James, he's going to burst out for one of those 30-point games on a decent shooting night.
Right. Also, I like to see Buddy a little more in the fourth quarter. Maybe 3 or 4 games ago, he was having a great game, and then he didn't even play in the fourth quarter. And I know they got to get the other players some playing time too, but he seems to be like the one player that is consistent from the outside, you know, hustling up and down the court. You know, I like to see Buddy a little more in the fourth quarter.
We've heard that a few times over the course of the season. Thanks for the call, James. We really appreciate it, man. Thanks for getting back to us. Thanks for listening. I've heard that a couple of times throughout the season. Mike, let's try this again, man. What's going on?
All right, we're going 2 for 2. I was going to talk about the Kings, and I got caught off guard. You're talking about LeBron. I'm a LeBron hater, and now I'm an Inez Kanter lover. Yeah.
dude cracks me up. I know some people don't like him. I think it's cool how he has his teammates back, and I think it's funny that he's kind of like a middle-tier-ish player, but he only goes after the big dogs.
He
like,
does.
I love that. It cracks me up.
Yeah, middle-tier if that. But
right,
like,
well, fair, yeah.
And the Kings, as far as the Kings go, where did these expectations come from? Why do people think they're supposed to be better than they are? They got, like, a whole bunch of rookies. I still think Vlade is doing an amazing job. Like, 3 years ago, he got Willie Cauley-Stein. Like, maybe he could have got Winslow, but what's Winslow done yet? We don't know. Nothing. So, the second year, I think maybe Papa Giannis is a little bit of a reach at 13, but, like, we could have had Denzel. And if we had Denzel, would we be playing him over Buddy and Bogdan? No. So he's doing good. This year he finally got some real good talent. Loving Justin Jackson. You know, Harry Giles, we'll see if he can have healthy knees. That's going to be great. And then, of course, De'Aaron Fox is the man. But
well, let me give this to you, Mike. Before you hang up, Mike, let me give you this one. What do you want to see out of the Sacramento Kings moving forward this season?
All right, that's what I was going to get to. What I want to see is Vlade to – I mean, I think what he's doing is he picked up those veterans on a cheaper level than what they're going to – their stock's going to rise as the trade deadline comes up. You know, those teams that are jockeying for position are going to be looking for a starting point guard, a veteran point guard, a veteran shooter like Vince Carter to come up, a guy in the middle. So you turn those into, you know, more than what you got them for this offseason and get some young stuff, maybe some drafts, and continue the building process.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. We appreciate that, Mike. That's some well-thought-out stuff, man. We appreciate you. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. Oh, man, Brad on Twitter just sent us a great tweet. We were talking about the Sacramento Kings minutes. Brooklyn, they have 12 players over 15 minutes and one, two, over 26.
Wow.
So we're not alone out there.
Yeah.
We're in the category of the Brooklyn Nets. Lucy, thank you so much for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Yeah, just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, if our overall goal is to develop the young players, I'd rather see the minutes reversed or flipped between the veterans and the young guys. I know we got killed in Washington when we started the rookies, but we're losing anyway. So I'd rather see the veterans come off the bench and, you know, play the rookies than the majority of the minutes. We're going to lose anyway, but I want to see development. I think that's the overall goal. Last night I looked at the starting lineup and we had three veterans starting, and I don't think that's, you know, progress toward our overall goal. And that's kind of just, you know, and I think they're doing well. I think Zach's playing well. Costa didn't have a good night last night, but he played well. So it's nothing against them. But if our overall goal is to develop the young players, I think they have to get the majority of the minutes.
Well, Lucy, let me say this to you. You were talking about the minutes being flipped, but there aren't any minutes to flip because they're all kind of even, which is what Jason and I have been talking about for the last week or so, is kind of along the lines of what you're saying is the younger players should be playing. We would like to see them playing a lot more. And while those vets do have value, perhaps it's not at a 25-minute-a-night clip or 22-minute-a-night clip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't mean flip because I don't want them even. I would rather see, you know, two-thirds go to the rookies.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And they're
– why develop them? You know, we don't three veterans starting last night. Well, that's not – I don't think that's not our overall –
Well, I'll still stand by regardless of where the minutes are, and the minutes are really, really even. And, Lucy, thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We will say this. I'm still think this is important not to focus so much on who's starting.
Yeah.
Because we go back to the Philadelphia game. De'Aaron Fox didn't start, but he finished.
Hit the game winner.
You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about who's out there for the first 5 minutes. Worry about who's out there for the last, you know, the last five or the last three or whatever. And then, you know, then we'll start having discussions if those things don't line up the way we hope they do.
Yeah, and there's got to be a theory behind playing some of the veterans with some of the young guys. The only time we really saw it was the Washington game, like Lucy referred to, but that was once. So, but I think for the most part, we'll see two to three rookies on the floor with two or three veterans. So, there's a reason behind it, obviously. I think you can develop around veterans as well instead of just throwing all the rookies out there. But I know a lot of people would like to see the rookies play more.
The overwhelming consensus is that LeBron James is not the most hated or hateable athlete in all of sports. And some fantastic suggestions have come in. You can keep yours coming at 44-1140. We'll let you know which one pops up the most. Plus, Jay Ross and I will give you one small thought on the entire NFC as we kick off hour number two here on this Tuesday next.